I had 4 yoke of oxen, and I had 1 bull which we call Gatti. He just would not walk. Every time you put him on a plow, he would sit down. And he was the fittest bull in our herd. He was so fit, he was so strong. But get him to work, we tried everything. They would hit him, poke him with a rod. They even lit a fire under his tail. It's a bit nasty, isn't it? But Gatti would just sit there. He would not. And the minute he walked away, up he would get. Put that little steel thing through, Robbie. Gatti would be up. So we sent him to the knacker's yard. And when you buy cattle or buy a yoke of oxen in the Middle East or the East, the first thing you do is try them out. But this man's excuse was so bad. He said, I've bought a yoke of oxen and I'm going to try it out. Doesn't make sense to anybody here. It sounds a reasonable excuse, but actually it's a ludicrous excuse. He should have done that before he bought it. It's like buying a car and not taking a test run or something. Now we in our lives, you and me in particular, very, very often our excuses for attending to God's work, or attending to prayer, or attending to Bible study, are so poor. Are so poor. But God in his infinite mercy, he has a little something in his character which I look for when I read his word. And that is, he gives you room for an excuse. He allows you to make an excuse. It's like on the road to Emmaus. You know the story where they were going, and it says, he made to go further. He pretended that, I've got to go, cheerio, it's been a nice talk, I've got to go further. He made an excuse. But actually, not making an excuse, he was laying the ground for them to say, well, that's been an interesting talk. Cheerio. Isn't that so? And they would have missed the biggest experience of their lives, because God, Jesus, was allowing them space to make an excuse, which they would have thought was good, but he would have known full well they were getting tired of his company. Isn't that so? And these 3 excuses are good excuses to us. Very good excuses to us. And anybody listening would say, that's a fair excuse. That's good. Good reason. But it's an excuse. It's not a reason. Now there is a big difference between a reason and an excuse. And I'll tell you the difference. A reason is something that's happened that you've got to attend to. It's important to attend to. You must do it. Because if you don't, something will go wrong. Are you with me? That is a reason. An excuse is a reason in disguise. It sounds like a reason. It behaves like a reason. It convicts like a reason. It's self-convicting. But it's not a reason. It's an excuse. And in our walk through life, all of us, we have to be ruthless with ourselves. When you say you have to do Bible study, or God is prompting you to pray. Of late, you know, the birds are out 3:45 in the morning, 4:00 in the morning. They're all up. I don't know whether some of you all live near the countryside, but you could hear them. In fact, outside our window in Stewart, there's one guy, he's up at 3:45 sharp. And all the birds start singing. They're all awake outside our window. And I think, what's the message God is giving me there? It's called a dawn chorus, isn't that so? Dawn chorus. What is the lesson God is giving us in the dawn chorus? Is we should also be praying to Him. Maybe not at 4 o'clock in the morning, we're not saying that. But we should not miss morning worship. In the evening again, you'll hear the birds calling out. And that's a lesson. Every natural thing, every bird, every worm, every insect, every tree, every blade of grass has a lesson for us. It's not just put there to show off the Creator's enormous capacity to think of new ideas. Everything in this world, you see, there's a reason for this. There's a purpose for this. What is it? I must learn. And when we learn it, apply it. On this bit of property around here, there's a certain bird. It's a black and white bird. What's the name of the thing there? Magpie. Now this magpie has a terrible habit, all magpies. It will go into another bird's nest and it will puncture the egg. This particular magpie, or these group that stay around here, they've flown into this barn, up from the top, come down the stairs, and they used to puncture the eggs on that table in the kitchen. Isn't that amazing? They would come and break the eggs. They would get into the chicken shed, through the little hole which the chickens can go through, they would get into the next place where all the egg boxes were, and they would break the eggs and come out. But this morning I saw, yes, early this morning, I saw something which I'd never seen in my life. There's a little bird down where the beehives are. It's got a nest. Couldn't be bigger than that. And every time you go down there, this little fellow chirps around and he's over there trying to detract you. And I thought the other day, I thought, this one's got a nest somewhere here. And it's chirping away trying to get me away from the place. But that was too big for it to attack. But I saw the magpie go through. And you know this little tiny bird, which was no bigger than half the size of the magpie's tail. It went after that magpie like a bullet and chased it into the trees, well, into the trees up there. And I thought, isn't that incredible? That it could defend itself and its young with such zeal to chase that bird. Chickens couldn't do it, the cockbird didn't, did it? But this little bird, that magpie was away, as though he had a little rocket behind him. And I thought, we should be like that. Satan is like a magpie. I saw a film the other day on nature about the cuckoo. It lays its nest in another bird's egg. And when the cuckoo eggs hatched, it's not the chicks can't even open its eyes. It's just got no feathers on. You know the first thing it does? It goes around the nest, and when it finds another egg, it tips it out of the egg nest. I don't know if any of you all saw that film, did you? This little cuckoo chick, its eyes were shut. It had no feathers on it. And it, the first thing it did when it could get out, it tipped on all the eggs from the nest. And the mother bird, of course, came and she didn't know. She was feeding the singer. It was like trying to put money in a bag full of holes. It couldn't keep it alive. The cuckoo was getting bigger and bigger. Now God has put these creatures on earth to teach us a lesson. And Satan is like that with you. Every project you try, everything good that you want to do for God, He wants to puncture. Because He does not want anything to flourish other than Himself. And sometimes we, in our blindness, are unaware of that. So remember the parable, Sir, I've married a wife. What should have been his response? What should you think? What do you think should his response have been? Yeah. I want to come. I want to come. Is it okay if I bring my wife too? You think God would have said, no, 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 likely. You got the invitation, not her. That's what he should have said. But he didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. And he used a perfectly good reason and turned it into an excuse. Because he had the right, according to the law, to say no. Or the man who bought the oxen. He could have said, yeah, I just bought 5 oxen. I want to come to your feast. I want to come to your party. Have you got any time to just come and have a look at them? I'll come. I'm going to come. And the guy would have probably said, ah, there's no time. You know, look at it another time. Okay, fine. And he could have gone. And we are like that. Never, never let yourself, I'm not just speaking to you, but never let an excuse kid you on that it's a reason. Never let that. Try and define yourself. Every time you want to do something for God, whether it's saying your prayers in the morning, reading your Bible, going to church, helping someone, whatever you do, if sometimes you feel you don't want to do it, say, ask yourself, am I making up a reason? Or is it really a good reason? I mean, I've got to do something important, so I've got to cut my prayers down today. The Bible study has got to be limited in time, because otherwise I'll miss my train. Good reason. But very, very often, reasons, we put forward reasons which are nothing other than excuses. And the real reason, if we are honest with ourselves, and God knows the real reason, because he knows, the real reason is because we don't want to do what he wants us to do. We don't mind serving him. We don't mind going to church on Sabbath. We don't mind paying the tithe. We don't mind singing the hymns. But sometimes God will ask you to do something that seems to be earthy to me. This is beyond the normal call. God is asking you to do something. Everyone faces different challenges. God has you in a certain place, and you're the only one who can do something in that area, that territory. Don't let an excuse convince your own mind that you can't do it. Try and do what he says. Try and do what he wants you to do. And always remember for yourself, be ruthless with yourself. Say, is this a reason or is this an excuse? The man who got married, an excuse posing as a reason. The one about the field, the one about the yoke of oxen, all excuses posing as reasons. And it didn't fool God. And it never will work and never produce any results for anyone. Amen.